privilege of just laying our lives right before him and saying, Lord, I want to give my best to you. Lord, I want to worship you from deep in my heart and soul. And as you give this very best of your worship to God, God is pleased. God knows this. God knows that your heart truly belongs to him. So why don't we go ahead? Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time, knowing, Father, that truly this time is not about us. It is all about you, and I pray that your holy presence will abound in this very place. As we know, your angels are here. They're ministering more of your holy presence. I pray as we truly decrease, may you increase in every way, Father, because, Lord, we love you. And we desire you more than anything. So, Lord God, just continually let your presence flow deep and strong in all of my brothers and sisters' minds and hearts as we come fully devoted, dedicated to your word, to your truth. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, good to see you all. As you all may well know, you know, my mom's funeral was just this past Wednesday. And, you know, my brother and I had the opportunity to speak at my mom's funeral, of which we really looked upon it as really a celebration of life, because that's what it was. You know, we just celebrated the life that, you know, we remembered how she touched our hearts. And then we also remember, yeah, she's in heaven right now. And she has a new life, and she's in the very arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, we had shared and reflected about some of the experiences that we had of mom, and it brought forth many instances of laughter and many moments of crying and shedding of joyful tears. And it was a very special time. And all of you guys I know that were there, man, it really touched our hearts just to see your faces, just to see that you were there helping us and supporting us that way. And, you know, I had attended and conducted a number of funerals in the past, and I realized there was one thing that is always of the vital, of the greatest importance that people generally talk about when it concerns the reflections of their dearly beloved one who had passed on. So what is it? Well, we know it's all about the relationships, right? That's what we usually talk about, the relationships that this person had with others while they were still on this planet Earth. And, you know, the memories of how they related to others could really, it could either paint a very pretty or ugly picture of who they really were and what they were really like. You know, from the testimonies that were shared, it seemed that my mom's life, you know, on the most part, it seemed like, you know, I know my mom's life touched many hearts of many people. And I heard this as people were coming up, they're saying, you know, your mom really touched my heart this way, and she did this for me. And we heard all these things, and go, wow, you know, it was so special. And, you know, in our lives, right, we want this more than anything else. We want to have joyful and pleasant relationships with others. But, you know, I got to tell you, simply being a Christian believer will not guarantee that your relationship with others will be blessed by God. Because some people say, oh, if I give my life to Jesus, I make a decision to receive God into my life. Oh, God will bless my relationships now, right? That's all. I can see that, right? That's a guarantee. No, it's only a guarantee when you do what the Word of God says. Because, yeah, you can say you believe in God, but God wants you to follow His Word. And if you do what His Word tells you to do, yeah, you're guaranteed to have very blessed relationships, because we have to follow what the scriptures tell us to do in order for our relationships to be oh so sweet and lovely with the people that are in our lives. Otherwise, you know, if you don't follow what the Word of God says, you just kind of do what you want to do. You know, sometimes I can tell you, relationships can get pretty sour, pretty terrible, and full of bitterness. Because, you know, when we do it God's way, God requires you to humble yourself. God requires you to come to that point where you want to make all your relationships so blessed in every way, because simply you're choosing to do it God's way. So in part four of this series called The Ultimate Guarantees of God, we're going to discuss the guarantees of blessed relationships with others. And look at that question there. It says, what does the Bible tell us that we need to do in order to have guaranteed blessed relationships? Well, look at number one here. It says, we need to be a friend that is totally reliable and dependable. Okay? Yeah, we want friends like that, don't we? We want friends that were always there, and we know we can count on them when we need someone, you know, to put our head on the shoulder. We know someone that will say, you know what, I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. And we must show to our friends they can count on us when they are in need or they're hurting. We should never become, you probably heard of this, right? This term, fair weather friends. You heard of that before? That, what is that? You know, because some people, they can become just fair weather friends, you know, to their friends. And so what is a fair weather friend anyway? Well, I looked it up in a dictionary, and it's defined as someone who is a good friend when it is easy to be one and who stops being one when you are having problems. So when you got problems, suddenly, hey, where did Charlie go? I thought Charlie was praying for me. I thought, wait, where did Sally go? Suddenly, they're gone, right? Especially when you have problems. And another definition is someone who can be depended on only when everything is going well. Yeah, when everything is going smoothly and there's no problem in life, yeah, they're there. You know, they're partying it up with you. They're there to you know, have fun with you. And that's good, right? But don't you want friends that stick to you when they know you're shedding a tear, when they know that you're hurting deeply? They're always calling you up and say, hey, can we go out? I just want to take you out for lunch. I just want to spend time with you, and I want to be with you. And just like, you know, Omar and Tina, they cooked for us, you know, like for a whole week, you know, cooking dinner and just saying, you know what, we're thinking of you guys, and we just want you guys to relax, so we're going to cook dinner for you. I mean, things like that. I mean, really, it shows that those are real and true friends. I mean, people who come beside you and want to let you know that they're there for you. And I want you to look at that first scripture there, Proverbs 18:24. Won't you read it with me? Ready? Go. One who has unreliable friends soon come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So when you have unreliable friends, they're not there, okay? But it says there's a friend who sticks closer than our brothers. They'll be the ones that will stick to you like glue when you're hurting. And, you know, it says here, they will stick closer than a brother. You probably heard of this before, right? Blood is thicker than what? Water. And you kind of go, yeah. You know, you think in your mind, okay, that means when, you know, you're related to the person, yeah, that's the only time you can really trust them, right? That you really know that they'll be there for you. But, you know, the fact is, right, you think about this, right? I know, you know, all of you, I can tell you, I can sense your love was so real, so outpouring, you know, when the time, you know, my mom passed away. But here's the thing. It says blood is thicker than water, because we think of the blood that's inside our bodies. What about the blood that's in our soul? Because we're related by blood too. You know that? We're related by the blood of Jesus. And that tells me, you know, the very fact, I know that when you guys were hugging me and telling me you were praying for me, I know it was so genuine. I knew it was so real. I mean, just like Brother Bruce, he kept on, you know, hugging me and kept on saying, it's all right, Ben, you know, she's with Jesus. I hear these things and I felt my soul just being so comforted. I mean, that's what it is. That very blood that we're related by, the blood of Jesus, I tell you, means more than anything to me. Because knowing that, you know, we have that common ground. We have that common faith, knowing we belong to Jesus. Amen? And the very fact is, you know, when you know someone can stick with you through thick or thin, they will not disappoint you in the troubling times of your life. Because guess what? We're all going to experience trouble one time or another in our lives. And you want friends that will come beside you. Amen? Just like you guys, you came beside me and Walton and John Lee and Tina and our kids, and you let us know that you're there for us. And we felt it. I mean, really felt it. It was deep in our hearts and souls. But I want you to look at this next scripture in Proverbs 17:17. Won't you read it with me? Ready? Go. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. And a brother or sister, right, is born. That means they're there. You know, when adversity comes, boom, you just look, oh, hey, wow, thank you for coming. You know, it's just like instantly, they're born for adversity. They know you got trouble. They're there. You just turn your head. Oh, hey, Omar, how's it? You know, and you know, it's just like they're there because they love you. And that's why we got to praise God. You got friends like that. Oh, praise God. Because all you guys, I praise God for all of you. Because you show love that is so real, so genuine. And I thank God for that. And look at this next scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other to succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in what? Real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And what? Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So better two, right? And that's why even Adam, when he was created, God saw that it was not good for man to be what? Alone. So what happened? Eve came in the picture, right? And that's what it is. It says two can stand back to back and conquer, you know? And so if you just have at least one friend that you know that you can trust and a friend that you can pray with and constantly go to, praise God for that. But if you got more, it says, hey, three are even better. Four, five, six, you got more friends like that? Praise God for that. But remember, you got to really do your part to show your love for them too. It's not about only you receiving from them. It's about you giving out too. Amen? And, you know, we got to understand, friends like this, they will never leave you alone to suffer by yourself. Because some people like that, right? They know that, you know, you got problems. They say, you know what? I don't want to let their problem be my problem too. So you can just say, okay, I'll just pray for you, you know, but you're not there to actually help them in ways that could really make a difference. And I got to tell you, it brings that to this next story. Let me tell you about these two men who were hunting in the northern parts of the United States. Suddenly, there was one man that yelled out, and the other man looked up, and he saw that there was this grizzly bear charging straight towards them. And the first started to frantically put on his tennis shoes, okay? And this grizzly bear is coming towards him, putting on his tennis shoes. And his friend anxiously asked him, hey, what are you doing? Don't you know that you cannot outrun a grizzly bear? And the friend just looked at him and says, I don't have to outrun this grizzly. I just have to outrun you. And you realize, like, some people, they only look out for who? Themselves. But a true brother, a true friend will say, you know what? We're in this together. We're in this together. And we're going to get through this together. And that's the kind of attitude that God wants all of us to have. Amen? It's not always about looking out for yourself. It's realizing your brother is hurting. You're going to stretch out your hand immediately and say, let me help you up. What can I do for you? Because that's showing the true love of God. And you got to realize, when something like that happens, right? It's supposed to be a joke, but let's imagine your friend actually did that to you. He said, I'm going to put on my running shoes so I can run faster than you. And so I can outrun you, and the grizzly bear going to be your, or be the grizzly bear's lunch. You know? And, you know, in situations like this, it only takes one time, right, for a friend to fail or disappoint you. And the trust that you may have had for this person, I got to tell you, it's broken. You ever had a situation where it seemed like your friend stabbed you in your back? I know it hurts. And I had situations where I thought, you know, I had friends that I could totally count on. But it seemed like, yeah, they stabbed me in the back. And it takes time, right, for a relationship to be restored when something like that happens. But we know, right, God calls us to be a forgiving person. And we know it's still going to take time, but sometimes we got to let God heal that kind of relationship. But, you know, Jesus, he defined what true friendships should be like. I want you to look at John 15, 12 to 13. Read that with me. Ready? Go. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to what? Lay down one's life for his friends. That's the kind of friend you want to have. It's not just all mouth. You know this person. When they say, I'm willing to lay down my life, they are. And just like how we know Jesus, he did that for us, didn't he? And Jesus calls us to have the same kind of love he has. So you got to ask yourself, are your relationships to that point with your brethren, with your brothers and sisters? Because if you think it's as far, far away, you say, no, I don't know if I would, you know, ask the Lord to let the love that's inside of you, which is his, right? It's the love of God. Let it get even deeper into your heart. Let it become stronger, because that's really showing the real kind of love of God. It's the kind of love that's willing to what? Sacrifice. It's the kind of love that says, you know what? I'm willing to, yes, even sacrifice my own life, because that's how much I love you. Amen? I want you to look at point number two. It says here, we need to be a friend that loves to what? Encourage others through their hardships and difficulties. And you know, as human beings, right, we know that words of encouragement can have a profound effect on us. It could be that you're feeling so down and discouraged, and someone says something so positive to you, and suddenly you're charged up. Suddenly you go, oh, yes, that's right. Oh, yes, that scripture really touched my heart. Thank you for sharing that with me. And suddenly you feel like you got all the power of God in you to do whatever, you know, may seem to be impossible. You know you can do it, because that word, that promise, that friend spoke to you, just ignited something in your heart. You know, with the right words, it can completely turn a hopeless situation to one of great hope. You know, because I've been in that kind of situation where someone just said something to me and boom, I'm just so on fire. I feel like, okay, let's do it. Okay, it's not hopeless anymore. And this is what the Apostle Paul had said to the Christians in Thessalonica. Again, I got tongue twister right there. The Thessalonians, all right? So in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, let's read it together. Ready? Go. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you already are doing. And so Paul says, yeah, you got to remember, you got to encourage each other. And what does it mean to encourage? You build each other up. You don't bring each other down. You don't criticize the brother when they're hurting. You don't say, oh, you should have done this. Why did you do that? That wasn't very smart. And I heard, other brothers and sisters reprimanding a brother or sister like that. I'm going, the brother's hurting. Why are you going to make them hurt some more? That does not make sense. No, it says you're going to build them. When you encourage someone, you build them up. You get them to the next level where they're not going to be hurting even more, right? And look what it says in Hebrews 3:12-14. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold all our original conviction firmly to the very end. Wow, that's interesting. Encourage one another how often? Daily, as long as it is called today. When is today called today, by the way? Today. All right. So what does that mean? All the time. Every opportunity you have, encourage your brothers and sisters. Because, you know, sometimes you think, he looks okay. He got somewhat of a smile on his face. I don't need to encourage. No, just say an encouraging word. Just say, hey, you're looking good today, brother. You know, just say something positive. You'll be surprised how it can affect a person. Just a simple word of praise, a word of encouragement. You know, it can really do a whole lot. I got to tell you, did you know Abraham Lincoln, he carried with him a newspaper clipping, right, that stated he was a great leader. There was a small article that said, yeah, Abraham Lincoln, he's a great leader, a great politician, whatever, right? He carried that in his pocket. Every time someone said something discouraging or he felt a little bit lowly about himself, He'd just take out the clipping and he would read it. He says, Abraham Lincoln is a good leader. And suddenly he's like, oh, yeah, I am. And then he would be able to carry on. And sometimes we need this kind of encouragement, you know? I mean, you wouldn't want to be carrying a piece of paper like that and say, oh, you're so good, right? But isn't it better when you hear it from your brethren, your brother and sister? I mean, it's not about, you know, flattering the person, but it's just saying something from your heart that you want to touch this person's heart with. Amen? You know, Will Rogers, he made this quote. He says, we can't all be heroes because someone has to sit on the curb and clap as they go by. Isn't that true? If you're all heroes, who's gonna encourage you? Who's going to clap for you, right? Sometimes we got to be the one to say, you know, I'll be the one to sit on the curb and say, good job. Good job, Brad. I'm so glad you were willing to do that. I'm so glad that you're back on track with God. That's what we need to do. We don't have to be the one all the way up here and say, oh, I'm doing good. I'm the hero. No, lower yourself and be willing to say, good job. You know, I'm so glad. See what God is doing in your life. Amen? You know, sometimes positive and encouraging words, you know what, can even work with animals. Okay, well, just listen to this. There's this teacher named Marion who wrote of this incident she once had, and it was published in the Reader's Digest. And this is what she wrote. She says, one morning I opened the door to get the newspaper and was surprised to see a strange little dog with our paper in his mouth. Delighted with this unexpected delivery service, I fed him some treats and said to him, you're such a smart dog, good boy. And the following morning, she says, I was horrified to see the same dog sitting in front of our door, wagging his tail, surrounded by 8 newspapers. And I had to spend the rest of that morning returning the papers to my neighbors. Yeah, it can even affect a dog, right? And you go, oh, the dog don't understand what you're saying, right? Just like this little dog, right? But, you know, when Tina, I say, Tina, oh, you're so cute. You know, I think the dog really understands what Tina is saying, but what? It's the tone of your voice, right? It brings out that the sense of love. I'm so proud of you. You're so cute. What is that, Holly or Harmony? Or Harmony, you're so cute. Look, he just blinked at me, you know, seriously. Wink. Oh, there you go. That's what it was. And so we realized, right, just the tone of our voice can just really exude just love. You know, it's not so much a word. Sometimes it's the way you say it, too, that can bring off just a strong sense of love that's from your heart. And, you know, as a child, when I heard encouraging words from my parents, I remembered I was spurred on to do better, even though I had recent failures. And my brother could probably tell you that, too. You know, my parents, they were always encouraging us to saying, yeah, you can do it. Don't worry, you know. And, you know, in my mom's funeral, I shared about the time when I graduated from college. I really had low self-confidence about getting a job. And my mom, she said to me these words, and, you know, I'm going to say it in Chinese again. I want to practice my Chinese, right? She would say, "Msayou ni tako," which means what? Don't worry, you can do it, right? And then she would, you know, say also these words, "Yesu wei bongjo ni go," means Jesus, he will help you. And, you know, that's the thing, right? I remember holding on to these very words of my mom, and I remember just praying to God, and praise God, right? I eventually got a job at Rehabilitation Hospital of the Pacific as an occupational therapist, and I thought, oh, nobody's gonna hire me. I'm just a new grad. Why would anyone wanna hire me? But guess what? You know, when people encourage us, say, no, Jesus is gonna help you, and we just continue to pray, and guess what? God will do his part. We just gotta do our part in encouraging our brothers and sisters. Amen? And the scriptures also say this. And look at what it says in Proverbs 27, 17. Okay, let's read it together. Ready? Go. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens what? The countenance of his friend. And you know, you read this, right? It says, we heard this, right? That as iron sharpens iron, right? A man sharpens the countenance. So what is countenance? Well, if you look in a dictionary, the definition of countenance is the appearance or the expression of someone's face. So you think about emojis, right? We like to send emojis to everyone, right? We like this big happy face, but sometimes we sad, we got a big frown, right? And usually I don't like to send frowns to people, but usually if you get text from me, you know, right? I love to send happy face emojis and Abigail, she always, loves to send these kinds of emojis too. And so the question is, how do you sharpen a countenance of your friend? So remember, the countenance is the appearance or expression on someone's face. That's countenance, okay? Well, I gotta tell you, I remember when I worked in the hospital, I often would see patients, that had hip fractures and, broken bones, and they'd be in great pain because of a recent surgery. And a lot of times, right, they say, oh, I'm so sore, they're all crying, right? And we don't know where the pain level is at. So we would have to gauge where their pain level was at. So we use what is called a pain scale. You guys seen this before? You've probably seen this in a hospital, right? Here's the thing. As a good friend, we almost always must find ways to sharpen our friend's countenance so they will not become discouraged and lose their hope in God. So here's the thing. When it concerns someone who is here, it says unimaginable, unspeakable pain. It's just like excruciating, unbearable. That's number 10. So if someone tells you they're number 10, that means they're shedding tears, okay? And then we go down the line. It says utterly horrible, right? And it's like around here, it's very intense. And then it gets to the next level, which is intense, and then distressing, and then discomforting, and then no pain, right? And then, over here, it talks about it's very distressing, it's tolerable, and then it's very mild. And that's how we kind of gauge, when it concerns a patient, who has physical pain. Well, what about spiritual pain? Because a lot of times, right, we come to church and we say, hey, how are you doing? I'm okay. No worry, everything's okay. And you know the person is hurting, but the person said, I'm okay. So you figure, okay, I don't need to say anything more. But sometimes you got to gauge them and kind of look at this. Like, where are you really at? And you're going to ask the Holy Spirit, where is my brother or sister really at? Because if they're around here, maybe they're kind of intense, but what can I do to sharpen? Sharpen what? His countenance. Because you want to go from here to here. Remember, we're looking within the person's spirit. Okay, not so much on the face. You're looking within the spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, because when you ask the Holy Spirit, he's going to reveal it to you. And you're going to realize, on the outside, this person may look like he or she's okay. But when you get really deep into their heart, you realize, man, they're going through some major pain right now. And you got to ask the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say to bring comfort. Because when you sharpen the person's countenance, it's about letting the word of God come forth. You're going to be revealed scriptures by the Holy Spirit that you're going to use to bring peace and comfort to this brother or sister that is hurting. You see what I'm saying? That's what it means to sharpen your brother or sister's countenance, because you don't want them to stay, frowning. I mean, within their spirit. And as you bring forth the word of God, it gets better and better. Sometimes it's gradual and it's okay. But you know that you're using the word of God. You're using the guidance of the Holy Spirit to sharpen this brother or sister's countenance. Amen? That's what it's all about. Because, I didn't really understand this when I read it before, that scripture. You're sharpening countenance. What does that mean? But now you know. It's helping that person to get better, right, with the guidance of God's word and the Holy Spirit. And as a friend, as a brother or sister in the faith, that is our duty. That is our obligation, to help a brother or sister that way. I want you to look at what it says there in Psalm 37, 30 to 31. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. The godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. They have made God's law their own, so they will never slip from his path. Well, the godly offer what? Good counsel, right? Why? Why do they have good counsel, because where are they going for good counsel? The Word of God, right? They're going to the Holy Spirit, and they teach right from wrong. And we know that as you use the very words of God, you're going to bring forth healing. It's not just about your own, personal, words of comfort. I mean, that's important too. Or you can say something like from your own experience, I think you should do it this way. That's okay too. But I got to tell you, when it comes to counseling a brother or sister, always go back to the Word of God. Amen? Use the Word of God to bring forth healing. Because, yeah, we can only go so far with our very own words. You know, I got to tell you, there was a 16-year-old boy. His name was William, who left his home to seek his fortune. And, you know, his earthly possessions were tied in a bundle. And that's all he had. And he just carried all this in his hand. So one day he met this elderly canal boat captain who listened to his story that his family was too poor to keep him, and that the only skill that he had was making candles and soap. That's all he could do, right? So the old captain, being a Christian, he knelt down and he prayed for the boy's future, and afterward gave him some advice. And he said to him, he says, William, someone will be the leading soap maker in New York, and it could be you. And he tells him, be a good man. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Pay the Lord all that belongs to him. Make an honest soap. Give a full pound, and I'm certain you will be prosperous and you'll be a rich man. So the 16-year-old who listened to this captain's godly counsel, his name was William Colgate. I think you probably used his toothpaste before. Okay. And I got to tell you, he prospered beyond his wildest dreams. And you know what? It was reported that he always gave millions of dollars to the Lord's causes and to churches, I mean, all over the world. And got to tell you, it's just because of one man who was willing to sit down and counsel this young man. And because sometimes we think, okay, this guy's not a believer, so why should I talk to him? You know, I don't have to counsel him. He's not going to believe me anyway. You got to remember, he was not a Christian at that time yet. But this person, this captain who sat down with him, shared the gospel with him, and look what happened to his life. We got to be willing, brothers and sisters, to spend that time with people who are so lost in the world. They need guidance. They need a touch from our Savior, amen? And we got to be willing to do it as the Holy Spirit leads you. Well, why don't you look at point number 3 now. It says that we need to be nice and friendly to everyone at all times. And, you know, you may think, but I am always nice and friendly. Really? All the time? There's not a time that you kind of like, you know, give someone the stink eye because they cut you off, you know, on the freeway? Or, you know, sometimes we can be pretty mean, right? Sometimes we can say things that really hurt others. And to be perfectly honest, right? I mean, yeah, for me too. And it's really simple. You want to have relationships in which the people that, you know, you are surrounded with, you know, you want them to be nice and sweet to you, right? You want it so that you're not going to have stress. People who give you stress, I mean, you don't want them to be around you. But it starts off by you being sweet and nice, because the scriptures make it very clear. What you put into your relationships will determine what you get back in return. So you got a lot of people who are mad at you, who are sour at you, that are angry with you, well, guess what? Probably because, to be honest, right, you could be like that too. That's why the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, read it with me, ready, go. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You will reap what you sow, right? So what you put in, guess what? You're going to get back. That's how it works. This is the Word of God. And the more that you're willing to invest your time, to invest your love into your relationships, guess what? You're going to receive these things back in great abundance. The more you put in, the more you're going to get back. And you know, there was this professor at the University of California at Berkeley. His name is Leonard Syme. And he had discovered in his research, right, the importance of social ties and social support systems in relationship to a person's overall health and well-being. And he points to Japan, right, as being the number one in the world in regards to this very fact because of their cultural beliefs about family and friendships. And so he believes that the more social ties the person has, right, the better the person's health will be, which in effect, right, will lower his death rate. On the opposite end of the spectrum, though, he indicates that the more isolated the person is, the poorer the health and the higher the death rate. So do we need each other? Oh, yeah. I need you guys, right? As much as you need me, right? We need each other. That's what God designed it to be, that we have relationships. And social ties are a good preventative medicine for physical problems and for mental, emotional, behavior problems. And, you know, I know my brother and his family just visited Japan. But, you know, you guys know, right, for me and my family, we visited Japan last year, you know, Tokyo. And we noticed this, you know, people there, they're so friendly. You know, they're so nice and courteous to each other. They're like always smiling at you. And they're all so gracious. They're all bowing their head like this, you know. And I remember, you know, one time we got lost in the city and we didn't know how to get back to the subway. And, you know, always the case, there will be some native Japanese person that would bound to help you. They would just appear. And even though their English is very limited, they would try their best to help you, right? They would take out their phone, even though they could only speak so much English, right? They would take out their phone and they would use their GPS to help you. So what name, and subway name. And then we would tell them and they put it in, okay, there, you know, and suddenly we knew where to go. And I go, wow, you know, and it's just like you can just sense that warmness about them. You know, it was like they're always willing to help out. But I got to tell you, though, you know, some other countries that my friends have visited, of which I shall not name, right, have told me otherwise, right, in their experiences with people. I think you kind of have an idea where these countries may be, right? And I remember one guy told me, he says, you know, if you look like you're lost, oh, you're in trouble. First of all, you may look confused. You know, you don't know what to do, right? They said they will not make eye contact with you. They know you look lost and confused. They go, just like they don't want to look at you, right? Because if you make eye contact with them, they make eye contact with you. They know they got to help you now, right? And they would walk quickly in the opposite direction where you are. Or they simply will say, no speak English. Bye. Right? And so, here's the thing, right? We know as Christians, you know, God calls us to love only those who love us? What did Jesus say? Love everyone, yeah, even those who what? Who hate you. Whoa, how can I do that? Well, you got the love of God in you, don't you? You're not loving with your own love. You're loving with the love of Christ. So yes, it is possible. And you know, the book of 3 John, 4-6, the Apostle John commends a Christian church leader named Gaius for his continued demonstration of love towards others. I want you to look at 3 John 4-6. Read it with me. Ready? Go. I have no greater joy to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are what? Strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. Saint Gaius, you know, they're strangers to you, yet they're talking about the awesome love that you're showing. And you kind of realize that's not his own love. That's the love of Christ that is so deep within his soul that he can even love people he don't know. I want you to look what it says in Hebrews 13, 1-3. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have what? Entertain angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. And once again, this is the greatest demonstration of God's love. Loving people you don't even know. Because, you know, just, you know, the very fact, you know, we've been doing the ministry at the park for more than 10 years now. A lot of people, they come, they're new. And we don't really know people, you know, that come every week, because they're new faces that we see, you know. And but the fact is, we keep on going. Why? You think it's because of just my love? No, it's the love of Christ that is in us that compels us to show up every week and tell them about the love of Jesus. Amen? It's not so much just our love. It's love that is so embedded deep within our heart and soul, because the Word of God is something that we look to. The Word of God is the one that gives us the desire to just show them more and more love. Amen? You know, as they say, right, love makes the world go what? Round, right? The world keeps on turning, right? Keeps on moving, keeps on going because of love. Without love, just imagine if love were to just be completely taken out of the world, what would happen? Oh, we'd be all dead, right? We'd be annihilated in an instance, right? I mean, just imagine that. And we know without human touch and without love, we wouldn't last very long. And we can only live prosperously when we have many blessed relationships. And like I said earlier, yeah, we really need each other. I got to tell you, there was this really crude and cruel experiment that was carried out by this emperor. His name is Frederick, who ruled the Roman Empire in the 13th century. And he wanted to know what man's original language was. He wanted to know if it was Hebrew, Greek, or Latin. You know what he did? He decided to isolate a few infants from the sound of human voice. So he reasoned that they would eventually speak the natural tongue of man, right? So nurses who were sworn to absolute silence were obtained, and though it was difficult for them, right, they abided by this rule. They cannot talk to the infants at all. So they cannot hear any human voice at all, okay? So the infants never heard a word, not a single solitary word from any human. You know what happened to them? Within several months, they all died. I mean, they were fed, they were giving all the nourishments that they needed. Only thing is, no human voice. Can you imagine that? They all died. And that proves that we all need to relate to one another through the communication of our voices. But here's the thing. We really don't need to hear the negative words, okay? Because sometimes you hear negative words, I'd rather have silence. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes we do say negative words, and especially words that express anger and hatred and fury. You know, the Bible, it warns us against making such friends who use these kinds of words frequently. I want you to look what it says in Proverbs 22, 24 to 25. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. It says, make no friendship with an angry man. Why? Because if you've ever been with a person who's always angry, suddenly, you know, you can be in the best of moods. And then when you hang around this person for a little while, you go home, what? You know, it affects you, right? It's just like suddenly you go, how come I'm responding like this? You know, what happened? And that's what can happen. The Bible tells us this. That's why I do not make friendship with an angry man unless you're going to learn his ways. And you know, often the reason why, you know, people like that are angry all the time is because their focus is completely on who? Themselves, right? And so when things aren't done exactly the way they want it, they explode, right? They go, it's not my way. I don't want it like that. And they're just always angry. And I found this on the internet. It was written anonymously. And this person talks about what are the most important words to use if you want to get along with people. Okay? So the first one, he says, these are the six most important words. I admit I made a mistake. Is that easy to say? I admit that I made a mistake. Six important words. The next one, he says, the five most important words are, you did a good job. Can we say that? Yeah, because oftentimes we want people to say, no, I who did the good job, right? No, you tell people, no, you did a good job. Omar, you did a good job. You know, we got to be willing to do that. And the next one, the four most important words. Hey, what do you think? Because sometimes you only want to know what we think. That's the most important, right? What we think. We don't have to know about everybody else. So long, you just follow what I say. That's all. No, you got to be willing to say, what do you think? It shows to people you're really interested in what they have to say. Next one, the three most important words. After you, please. Because often we want to go what? First. No, say, no, you go first. You go first in line. You know? Go ahead. I want you to go first. And we got to be willing to do that more often. And the two most important words. Can you guess what it is? Thank you. We don't say thank you enough, don't we? Sometimes you think, oh, but you got to do this for me because you're my wife, right? or you're my dad. No, you got to do this for me. You got to pay for me. You know, we cannot have this kind of thinking. And we got to say thank you. Thank you for doing this for me. I really appreciate it, no matter who the person is. And the one most important word, you know what that is? We. Not just about I, because sometimes we can say I, right? No, say we. Let's do it together. We. And you know what the least important word is? I. Because according to what the scriptures tells us, right, we got to be more concerned about others, right? I mean, we got to take care of ourselves. You know, I know me and Walton and Joe, we had a discussion last night about that. But yeah, we got to take care of ourselves too. It's not about just neglecting yourself. Okay, I don't have to ever take care of myself. I don't have to take a shower, you know, because I don't have time to. I got to go talk to someone on the phone about their needs. I don't have to take a shower. I don't have to, you know, cut my nails. I don't have to, you know, cut my hair. I just got to take care of other people's needs. And I realize, you know, when we do that, you're not taking care of yourself. I mean, you're going to be heading downhill. I mean, you're going to get to a point where it just seems like you don't really value yourself anymore. And we got to make sure we take care of ourselves too. Amen? But we got to make sure we got to be concerned about others' needs. It's not just about yourself. Amen? I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. Let's look at Luke 22:25-30. And we're going to see how Jesus looked upon his friendships with others. Okay? Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be what? It'll be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves. You have stayed with me in my time of trial, and just as my friend has granted me a kingdom, I now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Who's that? That's us, right? But he's saying, you know, Jesus says, I have not come to be served, but what? To serve. You want to have blessed relationships, you got to stop thinking that you're better than the other person. Because Jesus himself says, the greatest among these are what? The least among the brethren, right? And he says that the very fact the leader should be like a servant. You want to be a great leader? Yeah, be a servant. Be willing to serve others from your heart. Be willing always to extend a hand. When you know someone is hurting, someone who's in need, be willing to help. Because if we get into the attitude like, you know what, I get enough problems of my own. Why? You know, I'm sure the problem will go away itself eventually. Just imagine if we just live with this kind of attitude all the time. I mean, you never let the love of Christ grow deep in your heart. This is the only way that the love of Christ will grow strong. You got to be willing to serve others. Amen? I want you to look at this last scripture in Matthew 11, 18 to 19. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. For John didn't spend his time eating and drinking, and you say he's possessed by a demon. The Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by its results. And here's the thing. All the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, when they saw Jesus, they realized, you know, that he was a man who seemed to speak with great authority. But said, why is he hanging around all these sinners, prostitutes, tax collectors? Well, why do you think Jesus did that? Because doesn't the scripture says, do not be yoked with unbelievers? Because you're going to learn their bad ways, right? Their sinful ways. Well, so why did Jesus do it? What do you think his intention was? I'm going to tell you what it is. It is a pureness of heart. He loved them. And he wanted them to know his Papa God. He wanted them to know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? That's why he did it. And that's why if you really have this heart to you know, be around other unbelievers, you know, you don't want to, you know, be in a situation where you're going to be tempted yourself. You're going to learn things that will cause you to stumble. No, you don't want to put yourself in positions like that. But the fact is, you can be a friend to them. You see a coworker who's crying at their table, crying at their desk. Are you just going to go, okay, I wonder he got allergies? Or are you going to go, you know what, let me see if this person needs some prayer. Let me see if this person needs a touch from my Papa God. Because when you're willing to do this, guess what's going to happen within your own heart? The love of Christ will only grow stronger within you. Amen? And that's why we got to be willing to do this, because this is what God wants us to do. And I got to tell you, the more you do it, the more you're willing to stretch out a hand and just tell someone that you love them, that you want to help them, something happens within you. You know, it's really hard to explain. You're realizing you're becoming less and less of you. And you're becoming more and more like Jesus. Amen? And you know, I know Joe, he's going to be singing a song. It's called Reckless Love. And you think about it. Why a song called Reckless Love? Well, why is it reckless? Because the very fact God is willing to do anything it takes to reach out to you. He's willing to do whatever it takes to grab a hold of your heart and let you know how you are so loved by him. It's reckless because he loves you that much. And he's willing to do whatever it takes. So Joe, could you go ahead and play that song for us? And the words will come out at the screen. And Brother Omar.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. And all the overwhelming and glorious love of God. And oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, no, I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. And all the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Yeah, yeah. When I was your foe, still your love far from me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt nowhere, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. And all the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. And all it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, no, I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. And all the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Let's sing it out. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. And all the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. And chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, no, I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. And all the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Know the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And know it chases me down, fights. once till I'm found least the 99. And I couldn't earn it, no I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. And all the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God.
Amen. Praise God.
Let's realize this kind of love, yeah, it is all reckless. God wants us to have this kind of love where we love our brother and sister so much we're willing to do anything to just let them know how much we love them and how much God loves them. Amen. As we are willing to stretch our hand towards them and say, you know, it'll be all right. You know, it'll be good because God is on our side. God will never let you down.
You got to speak these things out. Because if we don't, you know what? They may go to the world for help. And that's when they can get into really a lot of trouble. And that's why we got to be willing to be the ones to say, I'm going to make that difference. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to cook for you if I have to, just like Sister Tina, or whatever it may be, whatever God puts in your heart to do. Just do it. Because you're going to be touching more than just the heart. You're going to be touching this person's life. Amen? And let's continue just to do it with great heart. Why don't we go ahead, let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts, let's come before our Lord God. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And we just realize, Lord, that truly we want to have blessed relationships in our lives. But Father, we know it starts with us. We reap what we sow. If we're willing to put in much love, much time, much effort into our relationships, we know it will all come back to us. It'll come back even with greater love, greater peace, greater joy, because we reap what we sow. Father, help us to live lives that are truly a demonstration of your love. Help us, Father, because we know we can't do this on our own. We need your love to shine forth in our lives. And I pray, Lord, as we simply allow your love to take full effect over the love that's within us, Lord. We know the whole world will see Jesus Christ. The whole world will know that the love of God is so real because we're shining the very light of Christ. And with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying right now, you know, Pastor Ben, I just listened to the Word of God, and I know that I need to show the love of God even more because I can easily say, I love this person or I love that person, but I don't really show the love of Christ. And you're saying right now, Lord, I want more of your love to shine forth in my life, more than anything, because I want the world to see Jesus, the love of Jesus in me. If this is the cry of your heart, can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Hallelujah. Anyone else saying, Lord, that is me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, Lord, more of your love, less of me, more of you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, you put your hands down. Oh, Father, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands. Father, will you just touch every heart? Fill every heart right now, right here in this room, Lord, with more of your love. That as they go out into the world, Father, the love of Christ will shine so brightly because they will let the whole world know that Jesus is in them. Father, let your love just glow. Let your love just be so bright as we speak forth your word and tell people that Jesus loves them. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Let's all.